Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life Body. Welcome. I'm going to be sharing with you from what are listed as being the fourth and sixth chapters of the book of Zechariah, as well as sharing from what is listed as being the 11th book of Revelation again. Not so long ago, I shared from that in combination with, I believe, what is listed as chapter 12, that or chapter 10, one or the t'other. And also, I will be sharing from what is listed as being the fourth chapter of the book of Malachi, but beginning with what is listed as being the fourth chapter of Zechariah, which will be followed immediately by what is listed as being the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. So going back to the beginning of the fourth chapter, and the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. Well, what is our condition if we are wakened out of sleep? Typically, we are perhaps a bit blurry-eyed. I'm speaking of myself, a bit blurry-eyed. And it takes us perhaps a minute or two to pull ourselves together and so on and so forth. And I take it from his description that Zechariah is saying that of himself. It depends whether you're wakened out of a deep sleep or fitful sleep or what have you, but The angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, what seest thou? But you notice he doesn't say, I don't know, I really, my eyes aren't in focus or something like that. He says, and I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. A candlestick all of gold, pure gold. Candlestick of the temple is what it sounds like. A candlestick from the sanctuary, as in the inner sanctuary, is what it sounds like. Behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps. One for each, one pipe for each lamp, which are upon the top thereof, which are above the bowl. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side thereof. An olive tree to either side of this candlestick. So I take it from this, as in fact descriptions that we have of the tabernacle and then the temple, is that this is a large candlestick. This is not like one that Ebenezer Scrooge is carrying about his dingy, dark mansion townhouse, but rather this is a large candlestick all of gold, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side thereof. So though we can expect these olive trees to be larger than this candlestick, they would not be greatly out of proportion to it. Not enormously out of proportion to it. So I answered and spake. And it's funny, the wording that's used here and that is being used, of using the term answered or answer when they are asking questions, that they are referring to their question asking as answering. But so I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? And yet in a sense it's an answer, because it's a continuation, if you will, of his answer to the angel that woke him out of his sleep, who said unto him, what seest thou? So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. You notice he refers to this angel over and over again as Lord. Now, this is Lord with a small L. All of the letters are lowercase. But still, it is a term of honor and of deference to him. Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Now, if you prefer a different pronunciation, you may use it. Zerubbabel, that sort of thing, Zerubbabel. But the actual pronunciation here in the King James Authorized Version is Zerubbabel. But this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Diametrically contrary to the order of things in this world. Diametrically, absolutely, utterly, totally in conflict with the order of things in this world. Not only the order of things in communist regimes, in fascist regimes, in all manner of socialist systems and dictatorships, authoritarian, autocratic dictatorships everywhere. But this is diametrically contrary to the way things are, the order of things around the world. And that has been true. That order of things has been in continuance going back practically to the beginning. But instead of by might, and instead of by power, the Lord of hosts, with the Lord of hosts it is by his spirit. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. O great mountain, before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. As the Lord God Almighty has testified elsewhere, in Revelation, the mountains shall fall flat. At one point, the mountains shall come down. The mountains shall fall flat. The mountainous landscapes shall be flattened. So here, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. He shall bring forth the headstone. The headstone. This is not a cornerstone of a foundation. Headstone is synonymous with grave marker. Perhaps it has some other meaning here, but that's what I think of when I read the term headstone, a grave marker. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. Here again, we have another name, yet another name used to refer to Jesus Christ. Zerubbabel, his hands have laid the foundation of the house of God, of the temple of God. His hands shall also finish it. And he is the tried stone, the true stone, the true cornerstone, the true foundation. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. He, Zerubbabel, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, laid the foundation of this house, this house of God, this temple of God, his hands shall also finish it. Or as he said repeatedly, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up, referring to the temple of his body. But here, it's referring to his building the temple of God, not Solomon's temple, not a great building owing to the labors of sinful, imperfect, carnal men. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. As is stated in the book of Revelation over and over again about the seven spirits of God. The seven spirits of God that are before the throne, in the throne, and then it refers to them differently later in the book of Revelation. The seven spirits of God. The connection of these seven spirits of God with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, I cannot speak upon. But of course, there are many outstanding experts who can give us complete understanding of these things. But these eyes of the Lord, they run to and fro through the whole earth, that they may observe, that they may share their observations with God Almighty, I would think. Not that he needs that, but to know what's going on. But working with people, with sinful, imperfect, fallen people, God does wondrous things and works by his Spirit, not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. Then answered I, and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? What are they? What are these two olive trees? What's this about? And I answered again, or I asked again, and said unto him, what be these two olive branches? So now from the two olive trees to the two olive branches, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves, or the golden out of themselves? I'm not going to claim to have some perfection of understanding of this imagery. However, I will give a possible interpretation after I share the next two verses. And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord, as he said earlier in the passage. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Now, as we read about the two witnesses of God, the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth and who are referred to in the New Testament Gospels as standing at the right and left hand of Jesus, it is always indicated that this is two men. Two people, two men, two witnesses, two anointed. But as I have stated previously, God Almighty referred to Adam and Eve as Adam. The Lord Jesus Christ stated concerning when he was asked about divorce and so forth, that for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Whereas they were twain, now they are one. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Then too, with regard to the trial and tribulation, ever so briefly, mind you, merely one season for Job, which interrupted his perfect life up until then, and which preceded his perfect life following that. His children were slain. His servants were slain, all but three, I believe. His herds were taken. He was impoverished. Boils broke out on his skin, on his flesh. And he suffered. And his wife egged him on to curse God and die. But his wife did not die. His wife was not grievously afflicted. God allowed Satan to touch all in his household except for he and his wife, and then at the very end of this temptation allowed him to suffer this outbreak of boils. But the reason I mention that is because this imagery is, I think, unmistakably of male and female, of husband and wife, for each of these witnesses, for each of these two anointed. But you may think that is entirely too far-fetched. And it does not seem to fit with what is written in the book of Revelation in what is listed as the 11th chapter, because seemingly there it is again only two men. But we will get there in just a moment. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden out of themselves? These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. For me, with my imperfect, darkened understanding, these two anointed ones, these two witnesses, each have a wife that is included in this imagery. But I may well be mistaken. It wouldn't be the first time. Now, moving on to what is listed as being the 11th chapter in the book of Revelation. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles and the holy city, shall they tread under foot 42 months, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies, and if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Now I shared all of what is listed as being the 11th chapter of Revelation for context. I'm not going to go over all of it. However, when I say that my reading, my understanding of the two anointed ones described in what is listed as being the fourth chapter of the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament, that doesn't quite seem to fit with the description of the two anointed ones, the two witnesses in this portion of Scripture listed as being the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. What I mean is, pertaining to them giving their testimony and being slain by the beast and their bodies laying in the street, it just doesn't sound like it's more than two men there. It doesn't sound like that would be including their wives. However, preceding that, it does sound to me like it's including them. So to go back over that, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein, but the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now, I mentioned before that in the book of Daniel, and then again in the revelation of John, or the revelation of St. John the Divine, the revelation of God the Father to Jesus Christ, to his apostle John by his angel, it refers to the temple. It refers to the abomination of desolation being set up. But right here, it seems to be referring to the temple of God, the altar, them that worship therein, being in heaven, as in fact it is pictured being in heaven. But parallel temples of God, if you will. But here it goes on to say, but the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. They wouldn't stop there. The Gentiles, the Roman Empire, the coming last Reich, if you will, of the Roman Empire, they wouldn't stop there merely treading underfoot the court, which is without the temple, the courtyard. No, they would tread underfoot the temple itself if it were rebuilt. This is one reason, that I'm not certain about the temple being rebuilt. However, I do happen to think it will, but this makes it sound as if it is not. The reason that I have believed that the temple would be rebuilt is, again, because of the wording concerning the abomination that maketh desolate being set up, and the wording concerning the temple that is in direct connection with that in those passages. But here it says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Now, there are different ways to read that. It's these are the two olive trees, comma, and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. I understand that people can look at that and they can say, okay, he is just restating it. He's just using a different expression for the same thing. So he's referring to the two witnesses as being two olive trees, and then he's referring to them as being two candlesticks. I don't buy it, but I understand that people may think that. But in the book of Zechariah, it's very explicit, the difference here, that these two olive branches of the two olive trees empty the golden oil out of themselves into the lamps through the golden pipes. I'm not going to get into describing that further, except to say, to me, this is two men who are witnesses and their two wives. And for those who would say, well, wait a minute, what about those 144,000 who were not defiled with women? Obviously, you know, anyway, the marriage bed is undefiled. Marriage is honorable and all. I'm not quite sure about that. I think that wording could be a little bit more precise, a little bit better, but the marriage bed is undefiled. There is no defilement in marriage, even though there are many Christians who think so, not just Catholics. I will not digress, except to say that there are many who do believe that, and whether they will express it explicitly or whether it merely is unmistakably clear through the other things they say and do. But here, this, to me, sounds absolutely in agreement with the description in the portion of Scripture listed as the fourth chapter of Zechariah concerning these two witnesses, concerning the two olive trees and the two candlesticks, and leading me to believe that it is two men and their wives. But then it states, and if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies, and if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. I just don't picture that being done by more than these two men. But it says, these have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Okay? Like Elijah and like Moses and so forth. And as it is stated elsewhere. Again, I just can't believe it's more than these two men that are involved in doing that. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them, make that murder them, martyr them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Makes me think Jerusalem. But, and they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations, everybody, shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another and party hardy, right? Because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. Again, it seems to be referring just to these two men. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. That means everybody beheld them. The overwhelming majority of the world's population were their enemies and rejoiced and partied hardy for 3.5 days over these two prophets being murdered. Their enemies beheld them worldwide. Oh, the wonders of social media. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Well, how much glory did they give to the God of heaven, whom they are in rebellion, open rebellion against, and whom they despise? I don't know. I think it is, of course, lip service, false worship. But again, this is seemingly the references do not indicate that these men have wives with them, but the scripture verse that is listed as being the fourth verse of this portion of scripture that is listed as the 11th chapter of Revelation is indicative of that. And in agreement. But moving back to what is the book of Zechariah, what is listed as being the sixth chapter. And I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains. And the mountains were mountains of brass. In the first chariot were red horses, and in the second chariot, black horses, and in the third chariot, white horses, and in the fourth chariot, grizzled and bay horses. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. The black horses which are therein go forth into the north country, and the white go forth after them, and the grizzled go forth toward the south country. And the bay went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. Then cried he upon me and spake unto me, saying, behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, take of them of the captivity, even of Heldai, of Tobijah, and of Jediah, which are come from Babylon, and come thou the same day, and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Then take silver and gold, and make crowns, and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the Branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. And the crowns shall be to Helam, and to Tobijah, and to Jediah, and to Hen, the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. And they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass if ye will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Going back again to the beginning of this portion of Scripture, listed as the sixth chapter of Zechariah, and I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains. So in this passage, there are still mountains. But here we have four chariots and we have horses directly like unto those in the book of Revelation in the New Testament. In the first chariot are red horses, and in the second chariot, black horses, and in the third chariot, white horses, and in the fourth chariot, grizzled and bay horses. Now, perchance, you recall the description in Revelation, where it describes horsemen, it describes horses, and the first horse is white, and he that is upon him has a bow, as bow and arrow, as an archer, if I recall correctly. And the second, I believe, I have the correct order, was red, and he who is astride him has a great sword, and they are instructed to slay one another. They are sent forth to war against one another. And then the third horse is the black horse, and he that rideth upon him hath scales with which to weigh grains. And then the fourth horse is the pale horse, and he hath death and hell. Well, here we have the first chariot with red horses, the second chariot black horses, the third chariot white horses. So a different sequence, different order, and in the fourth chariot, grizzled and bay horses. Instead of pale, we have grizzled and bay. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. Now, God Almighty has seven spirits which go forth throughout the earth, as it was mentioned previously. But here we have the four spirits of the heavens, not the seven spirits of God, but the four spirits of the heavens, akin to the winds, the four winds of heaven. They go forth from standing before the Lord God Almighty of all the earth. The black horses which are therein go forth into the north country, and the white go forth after them. But then it gets changed up here. The third chariot has white horses, and those white horses are going forth after the black horses. But the red horses in the second chariot are nowhere to be found. And the grizzled go forth toward the south country, and the bay went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. So the grizzled and the bay are separated. And what has become of the red? Well, again, red, what is meant by red? I can't help but think of chestnut and secretariat and other with regard to red. Bay, a different matter entirely, as is grizzled. But this matter of the north country, what is the north country? Well, from Israel, you could say that Syria is the north country, right? It is north of Israel. But what is north of Syria? Turkey. What is north of Turkey? You just keep on going, you know, up through Europe, up through Eastern Europe, Europe and Eastern Europe, right? You can go on up through, I don't know, Croatia and Macedonia and what have you, and keep on going north that way. But the north country could include Russia, among other places. The north country. It's not exactly precisely specific here. Now, God knows exactly what he means by the north country. I, however, do not. The black horses and the white horses go forth into the north country. The grizzled into the south country. So I would think, again, from Israel, you think Egypt, North Africa, so forth. But, and the bay went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth, throughout the earth, covering all of the other bases, right? Covering all of the other continents and countries, the bay. And this angel said, get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. Then cried he upon me, or I think to me, but anyway, then cried he upon me and spake unto me, saying, behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. So, that can mean a number of different things, I imagine. Two things come to mind. But before speaking on that, if they have quieted the Lord's spirit in the north country, I take it that that means among the people in the north country. And therefore, I would limit the north country to the more populous areas to the north, and not just some frozen taiga and tundra area of Russia, okay? I would take out the Arctic Circle, and I would take out, you know, Siberia. Siberia is becoming populated, but I'd take out Siberia and confine that north country. They have quieted my spirit in the north country. What might that mean, I wonder? Well, two things that come to mind are, one, they have calmed the Lord's spirit. Instead of God being in a furious rage, that they have calmed that. appeased, what have you. However, I think what it actually means is that they have dampened or quenched the Spirit of God. So in other words, that they have suppressed godliness. I don't know if that's true, but it's going to be one of those two things, I think, even though there undoubtedly are many wise and wonderful possibilities. Those are the two that come to mind. Is either these spirits of the heavens that have gone forth into the north country have quieted, calmed, soothed, appeased, so forth, the anger, the rage, the fury of the Lord against these wicked people, or that it's the reverse, and they have suppressed the Spirit of God, restrained the Spirit of God, which I think is the more likely of the two. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, take of them of the captivity, even of Hildai, of Tobijah, and of Jediah, which are come from Babylon. And come thou the same day, and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Then take silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest. Joshua, Jesus. And again, another name for Jesus the Christ. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the Branch, and Branch is in all caps. Now, in World Wide Web netiquette, when all caps are used, it's akin to shouting. You're thinking, that's like me. No, but the Branch, this is God the Son, and he shall grow up out of his place. Well, he grows up as a man outside of heaven, but he grows up in Nazareth outside of Bethlehem where he was born. And he shall build the temple of the Lord. Again, we have Jesus building the temple of the Lord. His hands, the hands of Zerubbabel, have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And yet he is the temple of God. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne. The priest Levi referred to in the book of Malachi, referred to as Levi. And the council of peace shall be between them both. Confusing to me there would seem to be between Joshua and the Branch, and yet, according to my reading and understanding, they are both referring to one and the same, Jesus. So between them both, it could be between Jesus and these others, Hildai, Tobijah, Jediah, most likely. And then immediately after this, the council of peace shall be between them both. It mentions the crowns shall be to Helam and to Tobijah, and to Jediah, and to Hen, the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. But this is a little bit different combination. Again, previously it said Hildai, Tobijah, and Jediah. And here, Hildai is replaced by Helam and Hen, the son of Zephaniah. We still have Tobijah and Jediah. Make of that what you will. And again, I know there are great experts that know it so perfectly. And they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord. Wherever they are in the earth, wherever they are in the world, those who worship the Lord God Almighty in spirit and truth shall come. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass if ye will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. If then, you know, the famous if then statements that we have in education. If ye will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, this shall come to pass. But now, on to what is listed as being the fourth chapter in the book of Malachi, the end of the Old Testament. That does not mean you should look at these things chronologically, okay? But, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So to go back to the beginning of this, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Do you think it's possible that God means what he is saying here? We have, oh, great theologians, great, great religious experts who insist that, no, God is love. God loves everybody. Everybody gets to enter into the kingdom of God. God is not a vengeful God. God is not a God of judgment. God is a God of mercy and grace and love and so on and so forth. Now, they may, also accept this because this is speaking of the Lord of hosts. And so they can write that off as being God the Father and not God the Son. And so it is kaput, it's passé, it's behind us, it's the Old Testament. These may be the last words written in the Bible prior to the New Testament, but it's the Old Testament. Therefore, we can safely ignore it all, right? But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost are one and are in absolute agreement. And lo and behold, they state this. And they state it, they say it because they mean it, because this is going to transpire. Not, oh, just trying to make people, you know, behave or something like that. No. That all that do wickedly shall be burned up, consumed, destroyed. But they shall be cast into hell, and then hell shall give up, hell and death shall give up those in them. They shall be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone that burneth forever, where they will suffer torment forever, all that do wickedly. And of course, the experts have an out here, and they can redefine wickedness and so forth. But unto you that fear my name. So guess what? The wicked do not fear the name of the Lord. That is one indicator for you. But unto you that fear my name. But God is a God of love. We're not supposed to fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. There is no fear with God, you know, right? Wrong. Again, none feared God more than God the Son. If you go back to what is listed as the second chapter concerning God the Son, and ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi. No, not the son of Jacob, the very imperfect Levi, who with Simeon murdered many, fell upon them, murdered them. But no. My covenant was with him, this Levi, Jesus. My covenant was with him of life and peace. Life and peace, that's good. That's like love. We can go along with that. And I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. But that's Jesus. Why would he have cause to fear God the Father? The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Jesus is. The priests should fear God. These great religious experts that have no use for the fear of God, there's something terribly wrong with that picture. But back to what's listed as the fourth chapter. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. For they have been burned up, consumed. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Elijah, who was taken up by God, by the chariot of God, whose mantle fell at the feet of Elisha, his minister, his servant, who took his place as prophet. Elijah, whom Jesus made it explicitly, unmistakably clear, had returned in the person of John the Baptist. John the Baptist walked, served God in the spirit of Elijah. Jesus absolutely verified that. But God Almighty, the God who is love, what does he finish this off with? And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. Good. And the heart of the children to their fathers. Good. Again. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Ooh, that's not good. The fathers are husbands and wives. So this is fathers and mothers. Turning the heart of the fathers and mothers to the children, the heart of the children to their fathers and mothers. And this shall be accomplished lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Lo and behold, what the Lord God has prophesied has been fulfilled up to these prophecies concerning the very end times. But these very end times, there are two categories of them. There are the very end times that lead us into the millennial reign of Christ. And then there are the very, very, very end times from the end of that millennial reign into the eternal kingdom of God. A very brief season indeed. But Satan is present. Oh, is he ever present? Immediately prior to the commencement of the millennial reign of Christ. And he is put down, literally. And then after the millennial reign, he is released for a short season. And then he is put down forevermore. These times that the Lord God Almighty has spoken concerning are near at hand. I cannot pinpoint with any precision or specificity these times, because God Almighty, in the person of Jesus the Christ, states that only God the Father knows the hour and the day and so forth. But they are near at hand. And so much is in place. These times are practically upon us. And if we comfort ourselves by saying that, oh, we don't need to fear God. God doesn't want us to fear him. It would be wrong to fear God. That would disparage God. That would dishonor God for us to fear God. Well, if we're being taught those kinds of things, then those who are teaching those things to us, we should beware of, because those things are diametrically contrary to the Word of God. Heavenly Father, Holy God, Mighty God, Lord and King, Master, Savior, Have thy way, take thy power to thee, rule and reign, accomplish thy will, thy plans and purposes, thy great promises, prophecies. Have thy way, Lord God, have thy way with us. Do with us what thou wilt. Blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord, in spirit and truth and word and deed, in power and might, even so. Come, Lord. Come quickly. In Jesus' name, amen.